He says, cast your cares on me because I care for you. What a wonderful God we serve. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Lord Jesus, we honor you this morning. We thank you for the truth that we've just sung about here today. Every need your hand supplying, every good in him I see. And it's on your strength, divine relying, Lord. Our trust is in you, Jesus. And we thank you that you are the faithful God. You never fail. And Jesus, we thank you most of all for what you accomplished at Calvary. Thank you for your death on the cross. You shed your blood for our sins that we can be washed clean. And you rose again the third day. We thank you for this, Jesus. And this morning we look to you as our Redeemer and as our Savior. And we praise your magnificent name today. You are worthy of all praise, and we honor you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for how you're at work in our world and at work in our congregation here. Lord, we just pray, would you continue to help your people? Lord, we think of Abby Kuhn this morning as she's have some health needs. Lord, we just pray, would you touch her today and bring healing to her body? We think of Brother Wilson, his family, as his sister passed away. We ask, would you give him grace and his family grace today and just comfort them, Lord. Lord, we lift Elise Crook to you. We just pray, would you continue to be close to her and others that are not able to be with us. We think of Susie Kratz and Betty Kratz and Carol Cox and others, Lord. We just pray, would you be especially close to them today as well. And Lord, we also want to just ask you to help our nation, and we just pray for President Trump and Vice President Pence, and we pray, would you lead these men and lead other government officials? We ask, may your will be done for our nation, and we pray for our fellow countrymen. Would you point us to you once again and bring revival across our land that our fellow countrymen would for sure be able to say the motto, in God we trust, and say that honestly once again. And Lord, we just pray, would you help us as a nation, God? May we get a fresh glimpse of you. And Lord, we pray, would you raise up righteous men and women who could lead within our country, Lord. We think of Steve Jarvis today, as he is one of us, part of our congregation. We thank you for how you've been using him within our own state. And we just pray, would you give him wisdom and strength and protect him from whatever the enemy would try to do to him, Lord. We just pray, would you especially help Steve? And as he's running for state senate, we just pray, would you give him grace and help, Lord? Father, you see each of these that have gathered in this morning, the needs on their heart. I pray, would you especially minister to them? Provide for their needs, God. And I just pray, would you lift them up today? And whatever the burden is on their heart, I pray, would you just carry that with them this morning and hear and answer prayer, whatever the cry of their heart is today, Lord. And we'll just be careful to give you thanks. Help us as a church, Lord. I pray, would you use us to build your kingdom? And may many souls come to you through our influence, through the influence of this church, as you work through us. Shine through us, Jesus, we pray. And we love you, O God. In the name of Jesus, we ask all these things. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord this morning. Thank the Lord. Just a few things that want to make you aware of. Hopefully you got a bulletin on your way in this morning. You'll see a lot of details in there. But one thing that we didn't get in there, there will be choir practice today. And so everybody in the choir, we would invite you 4:30 to come. And we'll be singing, I think, the second Sunday of February. So we need to get ready for that. And then we won't be able to practice next week, because next week in the afternoon at 4:30 is the annual meeting for all the church members. And so we want to make sure that all of the membership knows about that next Sunday afternoon, 4:30. Please come and participate in that meeting. So that's a one-time-a-year event, and you don't want to miss it. And so we'd invite you here. And if you're interested in becoming a member, We'll be having some membership classes available coming up in the spring. And if you have interest in that, we'll get a sign-up sheet together. Hopefully we'll get it back there within the next week or so. But if you're interested, just come to talk to me, or you can talk to Pastor Heath, and just let us know that you're interested, and we would kind of give us an idea for what we've got, and we'll get some classes together in the spring if you're interested in becoming a member, or what that means, and all those good things. So I want to make that known to you as well. Everything else, I'll just let you read in your bulletin. And did Jesus just come back? I'm not sure. I hope I didn't miss it. But I tell you what, I long for the day when we hear that trumpet sound. I don't think it's going to sound quite like whatever that noise was. He's coming again. So I'm trying to stay in tune. I'm listening for that call, you know. I think everything else, those in your bulletins, and you can read those there. Ushers are going to come at this time, and thank you for the way that you give, and I'm going to invite them to come. And after they pass the plates, the three Heath brothers are going to come and sing for us this morning. So God bless you as you give.
The song that we're going to sing for you guys this morning is actually off of our newest album, and Nicholas actually wrote this song. And if there's one song that we just all the time just quote around our house, it's this one. And you may be going through some stuff that you just don't know how to fix, and there might be problems or words that you've said that you just can't take back. And there might be somebody that you just love in the whole situation, but you can't do a thing about it. And I don't know how to fix your problem, but I do know that He does. And that whatever you're going through, no matter what it is, you can always give it to Jesus. Torn apart,
down and you're lost in the dark. You're caught up in the storms of life and you've lost your way. I'm here to tell you now, child, don't lose faith. Just bring every burden, bring every bruise, bring every problem you wish you could lose. Bring it all and give it to Jesus. Bring all your chaos, bring all your stress, bring all the words you wish could be unsaid. Bring it all and give it to Jesus. When you need freedom for yourself, He'll set you free.
Set you free.
For the lonely, for the ashamed, He says, come unto me.
Come unto me.
I'm telling you, this is not the end. Your darkest fears are nothing for Him. So bring every burden, bring every bruise, bring every problem you wish you could lose. Bring it all and give it to Jesus. Bring all your chaos, bring all your stress, bring all the words you wish could be unsaid. Bring it all and give it to Jesus. So don't keep it inside. Say it's all right. He has your answer. He's waiting for you. To bring every burden, bring every bruise, bring every problem you wish you could lose. Bring it all and give it to Jesus. Stress, bring all the words you wish could be unsaid. Bring it all, give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. Just give it.
Amen. That song is for someone this morning, maybe for all of us. I know it's for all of us at different times in our lives when we are trying to wrestle with problems and difficulties, and we're trying to figure things out and solve our own problems. What we need to do is just bring it to Jesus. He's the greatest problem solver there ever was or ever will be. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys for sharing that song with us, and hopefully you caught the message. And there has been a time or two, Christian kind of alluded to this, that we have reminded the author of that song to bring stuff to Jesus. But anyway, it's a great song, and I know God's going to use it. Real quickly, before we get into the message, and I need a couple of individuals to help me pass out the annual calendar for Faith Community Chapel. And thank you guys for your help. Take your phone calendar, your Google calendar, and plan your vacations around all kinds of important events on here, such as Journey to Bethlehem or Carolina Christian Youth Camp, all these things that are on here. You can also look at some of the plans for the spring. Friend Day is coming up, And we'll have a special concert that evening. We're planning a Good Friday communion service. We'll tell you more about that when we get closer to it. Easter Sunday is on there. Mother's Day is all on there. Father's Day is on there. A lot of things are on there. And then we'll get into the fall schedule. And there's work days already scheduled on there for Journey to Bethlehem. Can't believe we're already talking about that. But please put those on your calendar. And I know many of you do that already. And if you have any questions about this, please let me know. We've worked on this for a couple of weeks, trying to get everything nailed down. And I actually see a mistake already. April the 11th, there is a line that says Hope Sound Bible College Choir. They were actually here in the fall on campus here on the CCA campus. So that is not correct. They will not be here in the spring as well. So I just saw that as we were working through this. So anyway, put that in your calendar, your date book, put it on your refrigerator, and they'll put the rest of those in the back if you want to take one home. Maybe put one in your office or whatever. It's hard to believe it's 2020, isn't it? It's hard to believe none of you are awake this morning. It's amazing. How many of you are glad you made it to 2020? Say amen.
Amen.
How many of you feel like 2020 is not as bad as everybody thought it was going to be? Say amen. Do you remember all those predictions about 2020 and the world's going to come to an end and all this kind of stuff? Now, there were a lot of predictions that haven't come true. Like right now, we're supposed to be sitting, when we get home from work or whatever, we're supposed to be sitting in a chair and robots are supposed to be serving us. That's what should be happening in 2020. And you shouldn't have had to drive yourself to church today. This is 2020. You should have been in a self-driving car. Now, maybe you do have a Tesla. I guess that is something that is happening these days. 2020 is a year, I believe, that God is going to do a great work among us. And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk a little bit about Vision 2020, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But first, how many have heard the expression, hindsight is 2020? What does that mean? It means that when you're going through something, you don't always see it in the way that you need to see it. But when you look back on a circumstance or a situation or something you've been through in your life, you see it a whole lot more clearly than you did when you were going through it. I don't know if you have 20/20 vision or not. Maybe you have to have glasses or contacts or whatever. But if you do have good vision, what is something that impairs your vision at times? Cloudiness, the lack of light, or maybe the lack of sleep. Maybe that's happened to you. I've enjoyed 20/20 vision all my life. I've never had glasses or anything like that. But if I don't get enough sleep and everything gets a little bit wearisome, my eyes are the first thing to tell me, hey, you're tired. You need some rest. Everything gets a little bit blurry and a little bit cloudy. And we're going to talk about where we're headed as a church and what God is going to do for us. But more than that, I want to look back to the past year, 2019, because God has done some wonderful things. And I want to say to God be the glory. This has been a great year here at Faith Community Chapel. And I thought before we talk about the future and all the different things that God's going to do for us, maybe it would be good to give him glory and praise and just talk for a few moments about the past. Not the long past, but the last 12 months, 2019. This is the first Sunday morning message that I've preached to you in 2020. Last week, Dr. Keaton was with us, and we had a great time of revival with him. And then the week before that, I was away on a prayer retreat, and I was really excited to get away for a few days and call upon the name of the Lord and ask him for help and direction and vision. And thank you publicly to our board of elders for allowing me to do that. And I want to share some of that with you this evening a little bit as we come back together. But I was thinking about this past year, and I made a list of some of the top blessings that have happened to us in 2019 collectively. You can call them blessings, you can call them wins, whatever you want to call them. And obviously, we'll start with one that I'm sure everybody thinks of very quickly, and that's Journey to Bethlehem. That was a pretty big blessing in 2019. It's fresh on our memories because it was just a few weeks ago. We had 7,857 people here that heard the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a win. And I think if you want to, if you're a numbers person, you can write this down. We had 2,139 cars or buses, vehicles that were here just a few weeks ago. That's unbelievable. That's more people. That's more cars this year than we had people the very first year of Journey to Bethlehem. And those cards were filled with never dying souls, people who needed to hear about the good news of Jesus Christ. What's very encouraging to me, of all of those vehicles and cars, more than half of them, over 1,000 of them, were brand new, had never been to our church or our Journey to Bethlehem before. So that's pretty incredible. Let me give you a couple other blessings. Second blessing is, this year our church has made some progress financially. We paid off back in the spring about $18,000 in what I'm going to call residual debt. We don't have a mortgage or any huge long-term debt, but we had some things just rolling around on some lines of credit or credit cards. And a lot of times when we would get to Journey to Bethlehem, we would expend a lot of money getting ready, and then we'd work on paying that back, and donations would come in. Well, the Lord helped us to eliminate all of that in the spring of 2019. And not only that, we walked into Journey to Bethlehem without having to borrow a penny or put anything on credit. We had people that turn in receipts, and all those receipts were paid in a timely manner, and to God be the glory. So we don't owe any man anything. We don't owe any women anything either, but we've had a good year financially, and I thank the Lord for that. Number three, or a third thing, is this year we took in 6 new members to our Faith Community Chapel church. And you might say, well, 6 isn't that many. Well, we're not a huge church. And most of you here this morning aren't even members of Faith Community Chapel. And that's okay. You're not second-rate citizens or anything like that. But we do have to have some kind of legal structure. And we do want people to kind of sign on to what we're doing. And we had 6 join our membership last year. And we thank the Lord for that. Since 2014, our membership has more than doubled. So we praise the Lord for that. Another thing that I'm very grateful for, I want to give God glory for, is a new ministry we started in the fall called Patch the Pirate Club. You say, how can you give God glory for a pirate? Well, he's not a bad pirate. He's a good pirate. Actually, Trey and Abby have led our new kids choir on Wednesday nights. And our kids have been learning a lot about God and a lot about music. And it's very important. And they will be participating just like they have been in our morning worship services, giving us some special music. Another thing that I'm very grateful for this year is we went on a prayer retreat as a board of elders, and we asked God to give us wisdom for a new mission statement for Faith Community Chapel. I want to pause for this one because this is an extremely important statement, because it goes on our website, it's in your bulletin today. It lets people know why we exist as a church. And we're not just some community club or anything. We have a purpose for our existence. And the mission of Faith Community Chapel is simply to point people to Jesus. In fact, those 5 words say it all right there. But we gave a little more clarification in our statement. To point people to Jesus and lead them into a life-changing, which is the power of God's grace, ever-growing relationship with Him. That's why we exist. And everything that we do, whether it's Journey to Bethlehem or our morning worship services or Patch the Pirate Club or whatever, needs to come under the filter of that mission statement. That's what we're attempting to do. So that happened this year. Praise the Lord for that. And then another thing I'm grateful for, and this is, you're going to have to think back to the summertime. We had something called Family Fun Day. How many of you were here for Family Fun Day? Raise your hand. All right, many of you were. How many ate more than one hot dog during Family Fun Day? Okay, you don't have to raise your hand for that. I can't remember how many hot dogs we had, but there were hundreds and hundreds of them, and ices and a whole bunch of stuff. You remember we set up a big tent. Well, you may not know this, but more than 300 people came to Family Fun Day, and we were able to connect with a lot of people who have never been in our church before, some people who didn't even know our church was here, and we had a presentation under the tent, and if you remember, I think we had 6 people give their heart to the Lord. Some of them were children, and I think 1 or 2 adults. That's pretty positive, and we thank the Lord for that. So Family Fun Day was a great success. Let me also reiterate this. This just happened a few weeks ago, but I, as a pastor, I'm very grateful for this. There were 19 adults and children who read clear through the Bible in 2019. That's a win. That's a blessing. That's a positive thing. We thank the Lord for that. And if you continue to do that through 2020, we'll celebrate with you as well. So praise the Lord. And then the last thing I want to mention as far as blessings throughout this year, one thing I'm extremely thankful for is we expanded our pastoral team. And our church has been growing, and we're excited about that. And so the responsibilities have been growing as well. And so it was a privilege to welcome Pastor Mike Mader and his family. And it's good to have Michelle and Margaret and Maria and Josh here. And they joined Pastor Jeff and Emily and Pastor John and Emily. They enjoyed all of us in our pastoral team. God has been using them, and that's exciting. That just happened this year. It seems like you've been here forever, Mike. But anyway, some of our staff meetings, it seems like it takes forever. But anyway, these are blessings that God has given us this year. There are a couple other things that I didn't even put on the list here, but a couple things I thought about kind of later, whatever. But some of you took Financial Peace University this year, and it made an impact on you financially. Some of you participated in Carolina Christian Youth Camp. That's not necessarily a ministry of this church per se, but it's definitely one of our partner ministries. And young people's lives were impacted. That happened this year as well, and it was a great year. Youth Challenge. Many of you go to Youth Challenge. That's a young youth event as well. And I want to thank you for your support for that. That was a big part of our year. And then we had an engine show on the campus of Carolina Christian Academy. I don't know if any of you were at the engine show. It was to bring exposure to the school. But not only that, when I was there, I was amazed at how many people from our community came out who had never been on the campus of Carolina Christian Academy before, never been to Faith Chapel before, and we were connecting with people. To me, that's what I look for as a pastor. Rowan Fay came over from Moxville, and he brought his John Deere. It's not a tractor. It's an adult. It's a man's toy, not a kid's toy. What do you call it? Gator, maybe. I don't know if it's a gator or not. But anyway, whatever. It's got like six wheels and it drives around. Anyway, Rowan Fay was like a kid in a candy store, driving around, meeting new people. In fact, when I got to him to talk to him later on in the day, he said, John, I prayed with this man right over here. And he was all excited about the connections as well. So even though you may not think an engine show is very spiritual, we were able to make a ton of connections. And I think those connections bring honor and glory to God. So 2019 has been a great year. And sometimes we just plow ahead into the next year and we don't stop and give God praise and glory for what is accomplished. And truthfully, it's really hard to see what God is going to do until we stop and look back at what he has already done. And what I want to talk about today, I want to talk about vision for 2020. I want to talk about what I believe is some things that God wants to do for us, some ways that we can look at the new year. I have a lot of notes this morning, and I'm not going to get through all of it, so you'll have to come back tonight for part of it. But I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. Isaiah 43 is a passage we're going to read. We're going to study together this morning. It has some insight for all of us, whether 2019 was an excellent year for you, or maybe it was a year of challenge or difficulty. This passage of Scripture, I believe, is going to speak to all of us and also give us a perspective for the future. 2020 is an election year. 2020 is a year with a lot of things that are going to happen that you and I don't know about. And I don't know what side of the fence you're on. There are some people who look at the future and they're excited about the future. And then there's a few of us who may look at the future with some trepidation, some fear. And I'm not going to ask for any show of hands, but something happened to me this week that kind of let me into a perspective that some people have about the future. I stopped at the sheriff's office this week to get a permit to buy a pistol. Everybody watch out, I'm getting ready to purchase a pistol. And by the way, we have a concealed weapons class taking place February the 22nd. And our sheriff, Richie Simmons, is going to help lead that class and put it all together. And several of you have already signed up. If you want to sign up, the sheet's in the back. So I'm getting ready for that. And I don't want to go into a class, you know, without knowing what I'm doing. So I'm getting ready to purchase a pistol and all that kind of stuff. And while I was there, I texted our sheriff and I just told him, hey, I'm at your office. Are you around or something like that? And he said he had just left, but he turned around, he came back, and we were talking for a while. And another guy walked up. He was probably in his mid-60s. He had lived a lot of life, but he was very well-dressed gentleman. He was kind of a classy-looking kind of guy. And he knew Richie Simmons, and so we were talking in the parking lot, and this guy walks up. And so Richie introduces me to him, and we kind of start talking together. And then this guy says a few things that caused me to realize that his perspective for the future is filled with some trepidation and some fear. And it really had nothing to do with the elections. We didn't even talk about that. But he made this statement, and somehow it came up that I was there to get a pistol permit. And he said, you know, they're gonna come and get all our guns really soon. He's telling me and the sheriff this in our county. And Sheriff Richie kind of got this strange look on his face, and he let him talk for a while, and he said, I don't think they're going to come get your guns. And then the guy kind of backed up, and he said, well, maybe not in my lifetime, but in our children's lifetime, it's going to be really rough. And they're going to come, and they're going to take all the guns and all this kind of stuff. And then he made this statement. He said, it's probably going to be just before Jesus comes back. They're going to come, they're going to get all our guns and all this. And I thought, wow, what a way to live. Now, I believe in owning guns, all right? I am very grateful to hear that the church shooting in Texas happened. I'm not grateful that it happened. Grateful that those that were in the congregation stepped up and took care of that shooter. I'm very grateful for that. I think you are too. That's why we're having a concealed weapons class. So there is evil in this world, and we have to be prepared to defend ourselves. I understand that. But this man, as I was talking to him and as I was listening to him, it seems like he's walking around looking for a communist under every bush type of thing. He's worried that here in the state of North Carolina or here in the United States, and I understand, if you pay attention to the media and you pay attention to the news, it's very negative out there. But listen, we serve a God who is in control, who is more in control than any legislature, whether it's in the state level or the federal level. We serve a God who is more capable of taking care of us than our sheriff is capable of taking care of us. We serve a God who has been faithful to us. And in the midst of that conversation, something came up about Christians in other parts of the world and how they were persecuted and how difficult they had it and how we need to protect our rights here in the United States. And I understand all that, and I want to protect my rights and I want to defend my family. But listen, the same God that we serve here in the United States is the God that people over in Middle Eastern countries are serving and even being persecuted for and laying down their life for. That's the same God. And the guy walked away, and I was standing there still talking to Richie, and I said, wow, he has an interesting view. And I said, I'm not looking for persecution. But I know this, if God allows it to come to us here in the United States, he's allowing it because he knows what's best and he's going to get the glory and honor from it. Thank you for a couple of amens. It's not the most exciting thing to think about persecution. But listen, don't put your faith and trust in a pistol or a sheriff or a politician. Put your faith and trust in God. And our easy way of life here in the United States is not the only way that brings honor and glory to God. And when you and I get before God in heaven, there are some saints of the church
who are going to be so farther close to God than we are because of their faith and their trust and their sacrifice for God. Sometimes we think we sacrifice for God because we showed up for every Journey to Bethlehem workday. And I know, that's a sacrifice. That's good. We're here every night and we spread the good news. And that's important. It's wonderful. We're going to keep doing it. But the God who is with us in times of plenty will also be the God who is with us in times of famine. And his blessings aren't just blessings of finances or food or all of those things. His blessings may be things that on the surface look like persecution to us. But anything that drives us closer to God is a blessing. Because God is in control and he is faithful. Isaiah chapter 43 is a great passage. Go to verse 9. I want to read several things to you. And we're going to read through several verses and then I want to talk about it. Isaiah, as you know, is a prophet. And he's speaking the words of God to the people of Israel. And he's telling them in this passage, he's going to tell them not only what God has done in the past, but he's going to tell them what God is going to do in the future. This is a very important thing. He defends who God is as the faithful God who is in control. He says this, verse 9, all the nations gather together and the people assemble. Who among them can declare this and show us the former things? Let them bring their witnesses to prove them right, and let them hear and say it is true. It's almost like the prophet Isaiah is describing this great gathering of people, and they're gathering together to discuss what is true and what is correct, and they're gonna bring their perspectives and gonna bring witnesses to say, no, this is true or this is true. And then the Lord, it's like he zeroes in on his chosen people, and he says this in verse 10. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord. In other words, you know about me. You know what I've done for you. He said, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. And then he states who he is. He says, before me, no God was formed, and nor shall there be any after me. He's saying, it doesn't matter what everybody else says. I'm the only God in the universe. That's what he's stating right here. And then he says, very, very clearly and emphatically, in verse 11, he says, I'm reading from the ESV this morning. I am the Lord. And besides me, there is no Savior. And then he says what he's done. He says, I declared and saved and proclaimed when there was no strange God among you. And then he says it again. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and I am God. And also henceforth, I am he. I was God, I am God, henceforth I will be God. There is none who can deliver from my hand. If I want it to be done, it's going to be done. I work, and who can turn it back? When God does something, pause right there, right before we get to verse 14. When God does something, nobody can undo it. As powerful as Satan may be, he's more powerful than us. Don't ever forget, he's not more powerful than God. And we can talk about elections, and we can talk about politics, and we can talk about Iraq and Iran, and we can talk about all these other things, and Islam, and all these jihadists and everything, but just write it down. Our God is more powerful than any evil that's in our world today. He is the only God of the universe. Let's keep reading. Verse 14. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. He's describing himself. For your sake, I sent to Babylon, and I bring them all down as fugitives, even the Chaldeans and the ships in which they rejoice. Let me give you this picture. Who are the Babylonians? They're the enemies of the Israelites, right? They attacked Israel. They killed Israelites. They were the evil representation in their world. And the prophet Isaiah is telling them the words of the Lord. For your sake, I send to Babylon. This is what I can do. I can send to Babylon. I can bring them all down as fugitives. Even the Chaldeans and the ships in which they rejoice. If you study history, the Chaldeans, which is the after the Babylonian Empire kind of fell, the Chaldeans came into power and they had the same basic control, but they were excellent navy people. They had ships that went all over the world, the known world at that time. And God is saying right here, even in the ships that they rejoice, I'm more powerful. He says in verse 15, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. Here's what happens. When I get done with them, they lay down. They cannot rise. They are extinguished and quenched like a wick. Have you ever seen, when I was a kid, I was just a little kid, but there was a teenager and we were around a table and there was a candle in the middle and that teenager was acting like he was really cool and he licked his fingers and then he went to that candle that was in the middle of the table and he snuffed it out. He extinguished that wick and I was just like, wow, you know, how did he do that and not get burned? You know, if you lick your fingers and you get them wet enough, you can extinguish that little tiny flame. Listen, all the enemies of Israel, this is what he's saying right here, are just like a little tiny pencil light of flame. And God, the great eternal God of the universe, just licks his fingers and goes, psst, and they're gone. That's the picture that Isaiah is painting of the God that they serve to the children of Israel. Let me keep reading. He says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Do you remember that song? I think our choir sang it a couple of years ago. God will make a way. Remember that? Where there seems to be no way. Isn't that an incredible song? This passage is telling us exactly what that song is telling us. This is a God who can call to the Babylonians and cut them down in such fashion that they don't even rise up. They're gone. This is a God who can look at the enemies that are around us and the difficulties, and he just licks his finger a little bit and snuffs it out. That's the God that we serve. A God who is more powerful than those around us. Listen, if you're here this morning and you're struggling and you've had a rough year, maybe you don't look back on 2019 with a lot of positiveness. Maybe 2019 was just a difficult, difficult year. I got a couple things I want to share with you this morning. Based on what we hear about the God we serve in Scripture, let me tell you, our God is greater than your difficulties. You might be facing some things that no one else knows that you're facing. You might be facing some difficulties that you've never faced before in your life. Maybe 2019 is not filled with good memories. Maybe it's filled with memories that you're trying to block out. It's filled with pain and heartache and confusion and difficulty. Let me just tell you, our God that we put our faith and trust in, that the children of Israel put their faith and trust in, that God is greater than your difficulties. He says a couple of things in this passage. You know, he says in verse 10, you are my witnesses. We are witnesses to the goodness of God. And even though right now, looking back in our immediate past, maybe it's filled with turmoil and difficulty, but if you go back far enough, if you look deep enough, you can find and be a witness to the goodness of God in your life. He says very clearly, before me there was no God ever formed, and neither shall there be after me. Our God is the true God. And our God is greater than your difficulties. Are you facing some relationships that have gone sour? Are you facing some accusations that you know are untrue? Are you facing some decisions that you really don't know how to make? Are you facing some questions that you don't really know how are going to be answered? Our God is greater than those difficulties. You see, only the eternal God can make promises and then keep them. Only the eternal God can make promises and then perform them. And if he says, I will go after these individuals, he'll do it. Our God is greater than our difficulties. Let me tell you something else, and it's just kind of obvious in this passage. Our God is greater than our enemies. Do you have any enemies this morning? Maybe not. Maybe you're one of those peace-loving individuals and you've never made enemies in your life. Well, just keep living a little bit longer. You probably will make a few enemies. In fact, if you try to love and serve Jesus Christ, you're going to make some enemies. There are people that are going to, they're going to hate you. In this passage, it's like a history lesson of God's faithfulness to his chosen people. It's like a history lesson of how God deals with the enemies of his chosen people. We've already mentioned it several times, but the Babylonians were vicious people. The Babylonians captured the Israelites, captured the children of God, captured God's chosen people. And for a time, it seemed like the whole world was unraveling, not just for a year or two, for hundreds of years even, dozens of years. The Babylonians were in control. And yet God is reminding them through the prophet Isaiah, hey, I'm bigger than all your problems. I'm bigger than all your difficulties. I'm bigger than all your enemies. I'm bigger than Babylon. I'm bigger than the Chaldeans and their navy. I'm bigger than all of that. And when I strike them down, they're not getting back up. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. God will make a way, a path, it says, verse 16, a path in mighty waters. Let me tell you, the God that we serve is more powerful than your enemies. The God we serve is more powerful than North Korea or China. The God we serve is more powerful than the Democrats or the Republicans. The God we serve is more powerful than Iraq or Iran. The God we serve is more powerful than anybody who says you can't own guns. The God we serve is the powerful one, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. He is the one who redeems us, cares for us, and knows what's best for us. I can just imagine the children of Israel being called by the prophet Isaiah. Hey, gather around. I got something to say. I have a word from the Lord. And they'd been through a rough time. They had enemies. Not just mental enemies, but tangible enemies. Enemies with swords and shields and enemies that could hurt you physically. And Isaiah gathers them all around and says, I have a word from the Lord. Listen to this. I am your Redeemer. I am the Holy One of Israel, and I will bring all of Babylon down. By the way, it's true. Babylon is no more. And God declares to all of them sitting around, he declares his goodness, he declares his greatness, he declares his power over their difficulties, his power over their enemies. Let me give God some glory this morning. Here at Faith Community Chapel, we have enjoyed the blessing of God. Our God gets glory not only for the good times, but he gets glory from the difficult times. Our God gets glory not only when we rejoice in how many people came through Journey to Bethlehem, but our God gets glory when we stay faithful to him through the difficult times. I was doing some research in the history of our church, And our church was started in 1974. Do you want to know how old I was when our church was started? I wasn't born yet. Just get that out there. And I was looking through some of the attendance records and some of all that kind of stuff. And there's some ups and there's some downs. There's some high times and there's some low times. But you know what? Through it all, our God has shown himself to respond to people who put him first. We've had some wonderful pastors through the years. We've had some wonderful people through the years. But in any organization, in any life, in any family, in any relationship, there's going to be ups and downs. And I want to give God glory because there is currently, and there has been throughout our history, the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit on this congregation. And because of that, we exist today bringing people to Jesus Christ. Just yesterday, Pastor Jeff and Pastor Mike were doing a follow-up call to someone they had met through Journey to Bethlehem. And I didn't know this. When they told me, they didn't tell this, but in prayer meeting this morning, they shared that it was at a donut shop, which I was really worried because that doesn't sound very spiritual. But anyway, now I know why they are really intent on doing all this follow-up, because they can have excuses to go to the donut shop. I don't know which donut shop it was, but
Krispy Kreme.
Oh. They met a couple there who had come through Journey to Bethlehem, who had been to our prayer tent. And in the midst of a very lengthy conversation and several dozen donuts, I guess, I don't know. I don't know how many donuts. This gentleman said, "I want to rededicate my life to Christ." And then in the midst of Krispy Kreme donuts, our pastors led this man back to the Lord. That doesn't happen on a whim. That doesn't happen on an accident. The Holy Spirit has to be involved in that. There has to be a drawing of people to a place where they're willing to commit their life to Christ. Now, we have to be faithful. We have to do what God's called us to do. We have to, you know, walk through the open doors and do the follow-up and be ready to pray. But I believe that God is in charge not only of the ups, but also the downs. And that leads me to mention something else to you. Not only is God greater than our difficulties and our enemies, our God is greater than our past. And I'm not going to talk about our church for a second. I want to talk about individuals here this morning. I have some hope for you. The God that is being described in Isaiah chapter 43 is a God who is greater than the poor decisions you've made in your past. He's a God who is greater than all of the ups and downs of your life. He's the God who says, "I will make a way where there seems to be no way. I will restore what the locusts have eaten. I will bring back to you. I will restore to you my salvation." That's the God that we serve. In verse 18, he's bringing this admonition to us. He's saying, "Remember not the former things." You see, there's some of you here this morning who are having a hard time thinking about 2020 in a positive light, because all you're capable of doing is dwelling on the past. You don't want to look at the future. You're fearful of the future. You're nervous about the future. You don't know what the future holds. And the reason is because you're looking at the past. All you're thinking about is what I did and what I said that I wish I could take back, and the decision I made that I wish I could go back and make a different decision. Or maybe wrapped up in all that is not only your decisions, but your spouse's decisions, or your family's decisions, or your employer's decisions, or your friend's decisions. And all of a sudden, when you look at 2020 and you look at this future and you look at this new year, it's like more decisions and more difficulties and more fractured relationships and more problems. Oh, I don't know. I don't really want to look at this new year. And it's not because you're looking at the new year. It's because you're looking at the past. And Isaiah is telling us, hey, forget about it. I know you can't forget about it, but don't dwell on the past. Our God is greater than your past. Whatever pops in your mind as the greatest thing of your life that you regret, that you wish and wish and wish you could go back and change, give it to God. Give it to the God who is capable of restoring you into his good graces. Give it to the God who says, I will forgive and I will remember it no more. There is hope for you in 2020. God is greater than anything that you're embarrassed of. God is greater than anything you are hiding. God is great enough to forgive you of even the things you can't forgive yourself. Our God is so great and so big and so powerful that he can make your failures stepping stones to your future. You should have said amen right there. One of the things I'd like to do in 2020 is have a congregation that says amen a little bit more. So should I say that again? Our God is so big and so powerful that he can take your failures and make them stepping stones to your future. All right, we're getting there. Our God is greater than your past. He says, verse number 19, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Let me repeat that again. He says, verse 19, behold, I am doing a new thing. Amen? The problem is not your past. The problem is your preoccupation with your past. The problem is not the God who is the God of the past and the present and the future. God's not the problem. He's already declared himself, asking for witnesses to declare how powerful and how mighty he is, and he's the only true God. That's the God. That's the God who helped David kill Goliath. That's the God who helped the disciples in the early church spread the good news of the gospel all around the world. That's the God we serve. God's not the problem. We're the problem. And the reason we can't look at 2020 with a smile on our face is because our past is weighing down the corners of our mouth. Our past is weighing heavy on our heart. And our failures, even though maybe intellectually we know that failure is not final with the Father, it's a beautiful phrase, it's in a song. But failure to us is kind of final. And yes, we know that God will forgive us. Yeah, I want to avoid hell. I want to make it to heaven. Lord, forgive me. But the God who forgives is also the God who redeems. And the God who prepares you for the joys of heaven and eternity with God also prepares you for 2020. He wants you to walk through this year with joy and peace and happiness. I'm not talking about being a millionaire. You're going to find out very quickly that money doesn't buy happiness or joy, true joy. I'm not talking about all your problems are solved. I'm just talking about walking with a smile on your face, knowing that the God of the universe, who is the greatest problem solver ever, is your God. He's your king. He's your Lord. He says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has been good to me. Do it. Some of you need to wake up anyway. Turn to the neighbor. Which side did you turn to? Whichever side you turn to the other side and say this. God is greater than my past. Do it real quickly. No matter who said it or who you said it to, every single person sitting in these pews is in a position where our God is greater than your past. But wait, there's more. I believe that you're not taking this verse out of context when you say, don't think about your past. God is greater than your past. I believe that you're not taking these verses out of context when it says, don't dwell on the past. Don't dwell on what's behind us. Look to the future. God is a God of the future. He's a God of forgiveness. I believe all of that is in this passage. But let me tell you something else I discovered in this passage too. Not only is God greater than your difficulties, he's greater than your enemies, he's greater than your past. But listen to this. God is greater than his past. You say, what in the world are you talking about? Now hold on. All you theologians, You're gonna tell me I'm off base here. I know our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I understand that. He never changes. He's good today just like he was good 1,000 years ago, just like he's gonna be good 1,000 years from now. That's the God we serve. I get that. God never changes, but what changes is our understanding of a God who changes, who never changes. What's changing is our perspective of God, our faith in God, our trust in God. Here's what I mean that God is greater than his past. Whatever God has done for you in the past, whatever blessings he has done for you in the past, guess what? He's greater than all that. He can do more. Whatever incredible things, whatever answers to prayer God has given, whatever just wonderful things God has done for you or your family or our church, guess what? God wants to do more. If you'd have told me 5 years ago we would have had a journey to Bethlehem in 2019 and 7,800 some people would come through, I'd have said, wow, you're a bigger dreamer than I am. But God knew. And I'm not saying that we're going to have 10,000 people next year. I'll never forget what Jim Cimbala said a while back. He said, I haven't set an attendance goal for my church in over 20 years. And the reason is, you don't want to take a business model of goal setting and push God into a box. Well, we had 7,000 this year, we're going to have 10,000 this year. You don't know. But we do know this, our God is greater than the past. Whether it's past failures or past sins or past enemies or past difficulties, our God is greater. And our God could bring 10,000 people to Journey Bethlehem if that's what he wanted. Or God may do something else that you aren't even thinking of right now. In fact, I would trade 7,800 people for 12 on-fire converts who know what it's like, know what it means to be redeemed. I would trade 7,000 people for whatever good and glorious grand thing God wants to do for our church in the future. Now, we're not stopping Journey to Bethlehem because it's a ministry God is blessing. And yes, we want to have 10,000 people. And yes, we want to do a better job and be more efficient and all of us work together. Yes, yes, yes. But God could turn all of that on its head and he could say, okay, that was really good, but let's do this. Are you understanding? There's some of you, especially those of you who work so hard for Journey to Bethlehem, you're like, something else? What are we going to do here? No, 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 no. Serving God shouldn't be laborious and oppressive. Serving God should be joyful because we don't know what's around the corner, but God does. And listen, all these things that the prophet Isaiah was giving to them was indications of the powerfulness of what God has done for them. He says, I'll send to Babylon, I'll bring them down as fugitives, even the Chaldeans in the ships which they rejoice. He says, I will make a way in the sea. This is the God who's talking here. He makes a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. He brings forth the chariot, the horse, the army, the warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. That's what he's saying. This is the past. This is what God is doing. And then he says, but just forget about all that. He's talked about how great God is and what he has done and how he's been faithful to the children of Israel. And then he says, just forget about all that. Why? Behold, I am doing a new thing. And now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? And now, not only will he make a way in the sea and with all the ships and the Babylonians, he says at the end of verse 19, I will make a way in the wilderness. Something else you're going to need from me is a way in the wilderness. And I will provide for you rivers in the desert. I don't know if I'm getting this across correctly or not, but here's what I want you to know. God is greater than the difficulties. God is greater than the enemies. God is greater than our past failures and all of those things. But God is also greater than all the good things that he's done. All the blessings that he's done. He wants to do more for you this year than you ever thought possible in the past. You're not as excited as I thought you would be as I was preparing this message. Isn't it incredible to know that when we face a new year, our God is capable of making it a year we'll never forget? Isn't it incredible to know that the God who's been faithful to you and has forgiven you of your sins and provided for you and blessed you in so many ways, he is ready with a storehouse full of blessings to pour them out for you? Why do we get down in the dumps? Well, I don't know how we're going to make it financially. Well, I don't know about this relationship. Well, I don't know about this temptation. Boy, this has been really heavy. Listen, look up and recognize there's a God who's greater than everything you remember in the past. He can do more this year than ever before. You see, we automatically think that God wants us to move on from our past mistakes. This makes sense to us. God is greater than our past. He's greater than our mistakes. But listen to this. What if God wants us to move on from the past miracles? I get weary when someone stands up over and over and testifies. I don't get weary of testimonies. But when someone testifies the same thing. We had a guy in Pennsylvania. He testified not that often. But every time he did, I could have predicted exactly what he was going to say. He talked about when he was converted 50 years ago and how God helped him to quit using curse words. His testimony was the same 50 years later. And I want to go back to him and say, hey, has God done anything for you since 50 years ago? What has God done for you today? Because the God who cleaned up your mouth and cleaned up your mind and saved you and prepared you for heaven, that God also wants to do a new work in you. And he wants to give you a good influence with your family. And he wants to give you a good influence at work. And he wants to do something for you that the people around you will know. Hey, God is at work. Hey, wow, God's doing something new. We need to remember that God is good and that he has blessed us in the past. But we also need to remember that his blessings and his mercies are new every morning, and his blessings can keep on rolling, and his mercy is a never-ending supply, and his grace is unexhaustible. But that's even a word. God doesn't want us to rely on the memory of miracles that he's already performed and miss the miracle that is currently in progress. I better say that again. God doesn't want us to rely on the miracles that he's already performed and totally miss the miracle that is in progress. We should look back. We should rejoice. Our God is good. Our God is perfect. Our God is faithful. He's just. But young people, don't think for a moment that 2020 is any more scary than 1970. Don't think for a moment that, oh, the impeachment just went to the Senate and I don't know how all that's going to end up and oh no, our world's going to unravel. Hey, it's okay. Our God is in control. And to be honest with you, I get weary of people who claim to be Christians who attack Trump. And I get weary of people who claim to be Christians who attack people who support Trump. And I want to tell both sides to say, look, just shut up and give glory to Jesus Christ and let everything happen like it's going to happen. Because you're voicing your opinion on Facebook or Twitter or whatever isn't going to change anything. Go serve Jesus and vote your conscience and let's be brothers and sisters in the Lord. And let's know this. This was not in my notes. And let's know this. The God who put up Trump can take him down. And the God who put up Obama can take him down. And I'm not saying don't vote. We have the right to vote. We should vote. We should stand up for truth. We should stand up for life. We should vote against abortion. I believe all of that. But my faith and my trust is not in Donald Trump or Mike Pence. We should pray for them. We should do our best to ask God to help them. But my trust is in a God who transcends politics, who transcends countries, who's greater than the Ayatollah Khomeini in Iran. Our God is great. Do you understand that? And when we look at 2020, we should look at it with passion and joy and excitement because our God is in control. Wow, I'm shocked. Oh, it's going to be a good year. Woo. And let me leave you with one more thought. Our greatest opportunities today, as many as they are and as good as they are, will pale in comparison to what God has in store for us in the future. I've got more, but we'll wait. Although if you keep clapping, I might preach for another hour. That was great. I hope you understand my heart. I'm not trying to discredit what God has done in the past, even for our church. It's been good. It's great. Let's remember it. Let's rejoice. But for the sake of our young people and for the sake of this passage, we can't dwell on past failures or even past miracles. We have to say God is a God of today. And someday, think about this, someday your children or your grandchildren will look back and they'll say, hey, Grammy, tell me about Journey to Bethlehem. What was that? Oh, it was this huge, and we get to tell all the story. And people got saved, and this happened and that happened. But what about our grandchildren? What if they have something even bigger and greater that God has done for them that they'll share with their grandkids? Yes, remember the past, but don't forget our God is a God of the future and a God of the present, and he's as powerful today as he ever once was. Let's stand and be dismissed. Dear God, I pray that you would help us not to get stuck in our viewpoint of just looking back either on the hurts and the difficulties or the enemies, the failures. But help us to look to the future and what you have in store for us. And Lord, we want to rejoice in how you've provided in the past. But Lord, we're not setting up monuments to the past. We're building your work today. And I pray that you would help us to be diligent about your kingdom's work, that your name would be glorified in our lives, that you would do a work in this church that the entire county would hear about. I pray, God, that there would be a mighty moving of your spirit so that you alone would get the glory, but that everybody in this whole area of the country would hear about it. Lord, bring us your spirit, bring us revival, bring us souls into your kingdom. And may we rejoice in knowing that we serve a God who is powerful and mighty and great. And may your name be pleased and honored and worshiped in 2020, we pray. We ask all these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you for being here this morning. Amen. All God's people said, amen. You're doing good.